Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody, and He loves you.
Under the sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe we have on the line our co-host, Sheila G. Sheila G., you with us tonight?
Yes, I am.
Praise God. Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
We're here.
Amen. Well, we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that it will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G., it's good to be back on the line again. Pray that everyone had an awesome holiday, Thanksgiving, and then on last week, I had one of those little sinus infections, but thank God that he brought me back, and we give him all the honor, the glory, and the praise.
Amen.
You know that our eldest brother, Stephen, has some medical difficulties today,
mm-hmm.
and we're praying much for him.
Amen.
But the same God that touched, healed our bodies is the same God that will touch and heal his body.
Amen.
Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And what I mean by that is that God is not a respecter of person, and that God does not change, and he does not lose power. And so if he had the power to heal me, to heal you, he can heal Steve, amen, or anybody else. So I'm excited about serving that type of God today. I'm excited
mm-hmm.
about getting into his word, because truly heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will stand forever.
Amen.
All right, we're going to get into the last part of Matthew, the 23rd chapter. I know on the last time we were together, we were talking about the seven woes of the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. And we were talking about how it is not good to be a hypocrite especially when you are someone who's supposed to be an authority. And we have all kind of crazy stuff going on in the world right now. It involves hypocrites and people leading people astray. But we have to maintain that we know that everybody is not corrupt and everybody's not bad, and that righteousness will overcome unrighteousness. So let's pick up at verse 30, Matthew 23, verse 30. It says, "And I say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets." And this is continuing on the conversation that Jesus is calling these folks out. And so, you know, obviously they're a little troubled by what he was telling them. And they're saying, well, you know, if it was us, we wouldn't have done it like our fathers, you know. Basically, they were giving credence that their forefathers were evil and shed blood and were guilty. And so in verse 31, Jesus goes on to tell them, "Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which kill the prophets." A lot of times, just like today, people's own stuff coming out of their mouth gets them in trouble. It reminds me of this thing that our president does with this Twitter thing he does. He'll tweet stuff and dig himself a hole. And it's just like what these guys said here. It's like, you know, we wouldn't have been like our father who killed these people. And Jesus just tells them, you know, "You're a witness to yourself that you are children of them which killed prophets." And in verse 32, he goes on, he says, "Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers." And he says, "You're going to be just like your fathers." In other words, the tree, the fruit doesn't fall too far from the tree. And you know, you see this again with you know, what was going on with our president and his sons and his cronies that are around him. And all of them can't help but to lie. They can't help but to deceive. They can't help but to find themselves in a situation where they're in a position of unrighteousness.
Amen. And that's why they always tell you to be careful of the company that you keep, because you just tend to rub off on that, you know, like just like the Bible says, sheep beget sheep. But by the same token, evil will beget evil. And if you're surrounded by that and you're brought up in that environment, then you're going to continue to think that you can get away with it. I remember when the president was running for office and he point blank said that he could shoot somebody in the middle of Madison Avenue and they would still vote. And so by him developing that attitude of arrogance, his sons and those around him all of a sudden developed that sense of arrogance. But the thing that they don't understand is they're not God. They may think they're gods. They act like God, little g, but at the end of the day, God is ultimately the one that is ruler over everybody. So you can only be evil and immoral but so long before, just like here, the Lord's Spirit calls you on it.
And you know, all that crazy stuff that you know the president was talking about, grabbing women and assaulting women, and now he's in hot water. And if you look at verse 33, it says, "Ye serpents." And this is bad when the Lord calls them serpents. Dr. G, he says, "Ye serpents, ye generations of viper, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" In other words, when people are in leadership and they are hypocritical and they lead people astray, they cannot pretty much, and help me out, Dr. G, they're not going to escape hell, Dr. G.
You're right. Pretty much, they know they have a spot in hell. They've got their graves marked, and I don't know what kind of place they're going to get down there, but they're not going to escape it. But people are just strange, and they think they can do this kind of mess, and it's okay. You know, they can get away with it. But the Bible clearly tells us, and what we fail to realize is that even before we die and go to hell, some of that stuff is coming back on us.
And I believe Sheila G. was the president's daughter that, that said that there's a special place in hell for those folks that, that prey on children.
Yeah. Say that.
Sheila G.
That yes, she did exactly say that, and he was upset with her for saying it, but it is true. So it's almost like she spoke what is true. There is a special place in hell because you are purposely doing evil. It's not even like, you know, it's like oops by accident. And then continuing, you know, there's a difference when you mess up and you go and ask the Lord for forgiveness, and you don't do it again. Then okay, you made a mistake. You're human. You made an error. And you don't do it again. But to continue not only to do it again, but to deny that you're wrong, I think that's why there's a special place in hell for that, because even when you're faced with it, you realize it, and the stain of evil is there in front of your face, you still claim to be right and are leading people astray by doing that. Many people are being led astray in leadership right now, not just in government, but in church, because of ignorance, and you're perpetuating, you're playing on that ignorance, and you know you're doing it. That's why there's a special place in hell.
Exactly. And you know, Jesus goes on in verse 34, says, "Wherefore, behold, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes." In other words, the righteous word and the righteous standard is still going to be prevalent. There's not going to be anyone that's going to be able to say, I didn't know, nobody told me. There's not going to be an excuse, because he's going to keep sending prophets. He's going to keep sending wise men. He's going to keep sending scribes. And then what happens is, in the second part of the verse, "And some of them ye shall kill or crucify, or some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogue and persecute from city to city." And there's always those in the media, in politics, in the secular world. When someone stands up for what's right, and someone says, "No, you can't do this. No, this is not right. This is not the way. This is ungodly." You're always going to have someone that comes against them and saying, "No, you're lying. You this, you that. You shouldn't be saying that. What they did is not that bad. This is what they're doing." But righteousness is always going to be there. It's always going to be there to say, "Yes, what you did is wrong. This is what is right." And you're always going to have people to try to fight against it. Always some people going to, in church, are going to try to tell people what's right is wrong or what's wrong is right. And Sheila G., it's prevalent that the righteous will be persecuted for standing up for what's right. Sheila G.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, when you were saying that, just now when you were talking about how you have people in church say what's right is right, or what's right is wrong, what's wrong is right, you know, contrary to the word of God, I think about what's going on in Alabama, where you have these evangelical preachers that are supporting a pedophile in the name of a party. And so it's like, how can you say that you're part of God and you're part of God's family, which is nothing but love and righteousness, but somehow twist that thing and make it okay for power?
Amen.
And that's what's going to be the detriment of man, is that power. And that's what's going on here. It was all about them being powerful, everybody looking up to them, and they're just twisting it around so that they can continue to do what they want to do. And to me, that's even worse. When I look at this whole thing with the evangelicals, that this is an opportunity for the church to stand up for God. Like you said, okay, you may be put in an uncomfortable position. Maybe, you know, you will be persecuted, like it's saying here, but you're standing right for God. And rather, I'd rather be persecuted by man than persecuted by the Lord.
That's it. And it's again, there's nothing new under the sun. You have people that are in power, in authority, that are perpetrating a fraud. And then when people call them out that they're perpetrating a fraud, then they want to get rid of them. They want to try to make it seem like, you know, they're the ones that are being persecuted. They're the ones that are being hurt. They're the ones that are being lied on. And you always have this back and forth and this this cover up and this good old you know dog whistle, good old boy, and the cliques, and you have it in churches, and you know
right.
one group, Dr. G, in the church can do no wrong, and the other group can't do any right, and you know
mm-hmm.
it's just a thing where the enemy wants to create division and confusion, and people have to stand up for what is right. And if you look at verse 35, it says that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom he slew between the temple and the altar. Good grace of God. Dr. G, in other words, what's going to happen is they'll say this stuff and they'll persecute, but the blood will be on their hands. So much so that he said they slew Zacharias between the temple and the altar. In other words, these folks would try to kill folks. They would try to manipulate. They would try to do whatever it takes for them to stay in power and continue their evil reign. But God says the blood of the righteous is on their hands. Dr. Z.
Well, you know, you're right. And if we take a look at what's going on in our society, you know, you've got some of the Republicans that are taking a stand and coming out and saying what they believe in. And on the other side of that here, you've got the president. He'll call them all kinds of names, talk about them like a dog, and yet go right on and, as Sheila G said, support someone who's been a pedophile.
Right.
And then the people down in Alabama, you know, because they were, as I think it was Michael Steele said, you know, here those Republicans, you know, at one point they were all coming against it. Now, because
mm-hmm.
the polls are going up a little bit, now everybody's on the side. And Steele came out on TV and said, you know, here the Republicans, these Republicans are selling their soul to the devil
mm-hmm.
for power,
mm-hmm.
for a vote.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what the Lord is talking about in here.
Mm-hmm.
And what they fail to realize is, okay, they have the power now, but it's not going to always stay like that. And what folk keep
yeah.
reminding people is, okay, come 2018 or whenever, when they start voting your behinds out, then we're going to see what you're going to say then.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, that kind of stuff goes on and is nothing new under the
yeah.
sun.
And Sheila G, it's interesting. It's really interesting that you can't wash their blood off their hands. They can't wash. You can't wash. You can't take that corruption and you can't and stain and you can't get rid of it. It's there. It's what's going to be your guilty stain when you stand before God. You might get away
uh-huh.
with it. You think you get away with it on earth, but when
right.
folks stand before God, that guilty stain is going to be there. There's no way of getting rid of it. And it, like Dr. G was saying, you sell your soul to the devil, there's going
right.
to come a accounting period. Sheila G.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And yeah, and that stain, and not only can you not get rid of it, but if you continue in it, and then, like you said, like we were talking about earlier, you pass it on your children and they continue in it. Then you'd have generations and generations that would come before the Lord
yeah.
and have guilty stain
mm-hmm.
instead of someone standing up and saying, you know, and asking for forgiveness, turning from their wicked ways, because they still have that opportunity, but they're choosing that humanistic and fleshly power over standing up for the Lord. And that stain, you just can't get rid of it unless you make a decision, because God's not going to force himself on you. You have to choose this day who you're going to serve. And as long as you continue
mm-hmm.
to serve this world, yes, you will stand before that judgment seat. And like Pastor G said, before you even die, there will be hell that you'll have to go through in ways that God will give you that opportunity to turn away from your wicked ways. And the more you don't turn away, the worse it's going to be for you when you have to go before the judgment seat.
Amen.
Yeah, it's not going to be any escaping. It's a rough situation, but God, again, his word is going to stand up. And so when everybody stands before God, it's going to, the word is going to stand, and that's going to be our judge.
Yep.
Let's look at verse 36. Verily I say unto you, this is Matthew 23, verse 36. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. And what God is saying, that there's those who have been hypocritical, have led people astray, shed innocent blood. He's saying it shall come upon it. In other words, there's not going to be an escape. It will happen. It's just a matter of time. And so if we look at some of the timelines of some of these things that people are getting slammed with now, they got away with it 10,
yep.
20, 30 or so. They thought
30,
40 oh. years ago. And here it is. Here
yep.
it is. Which is devastating. It's like he said, it shall come upon these generations. In other words, you might think you got away from it. I heard even some stuff about some of the future presidents past presidents that are coming up, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, when he says it's going to come upon it, it's going to come. You might be in your 70s and it's coming, the chicken's coming home to roost. So don't think you got away with it because these things have a way of surfacing, especially in today's generation, and that's what we tell all of our children is, you know, what you put out there on social media, it doesn't go away. It's there. Someone's got it. And so you might think it was something you did, you know, while you were in high school or middle school, and now you're in line for this executive job or, you know, for promotion, and folks have gone back and looked through your social media. And they find some crazy stuff that you posted or that is on record, and you'll be judged based upon that affiliation that you have with the stuff that you've done years ago. Sheila
Amen.
G.
Amen. And that's what we always caution the people about social media, Facebook, and, you know, being in the corporate world, I have seen people not get positions for that very reason. And they're like, well, this person's not my friend, but you can see it gets, you know, somebody can see somebody else's post someplace else, especially now that you have a whole Snapchat thing and everything. And we're constantly telling people, don't put your business out there.
Amen.
Because when you put it out there and it's on record, you can't just say, no, I didn't say it, because you did say it. I mean, and so people are constantly wanting to try to flip things around, but it comes, you know, what you do in the dark is going to come out in the light. And that is just so true. And like you said, it may not be now, it may not be tomorrow, but eventually it's going to come out. And it's up to God when he allows it to come out. You know, and that's the thing that kills me, when people think that they're getting away with it. No, God sees everything. He's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
He knows everything. He's omnipresent, omnipotent. He's all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing. So it's not coming out because you don't want it to come out. It's not coming out because God is holding it back. And sometimes he will allow that type thing to come at you to humble yourself, because we're seeing multiple reactions in all of this. There are some people that are being humbled. There are some people that are being ashamed, that feel ashamed. There are some people that are probably going to God and saying, Lord, I really messed up. I did some horrible things. Lord, please forgive me. But then there's some that are still self-righteous, know down in their heart that they did it, but are trying to please man and say not. And God is going to treat those opportunities differently, because those cases differently. Because if you humble yourself and you come for the Lord and you ask for forgiveness, that's why he calls you out on stuff, to give you that opportunity.
Right.
But if you don't humble yourself and you continue down that path of unrighteousness, that's where that stain is going to continue to stay.
Amen.
Amen. And that point brings us to verse 37, Matthew 23, verse 37, where Jesus talks about, you know, their sins, and even though they were in their sins. This is what's so great about God and His grace and the mercy that is outstanding among any other religion, is that God looked past our faults and saw our need and gave His Son, who stood in and became a propitiation or a substitute for the penalty of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And in this verse 37, God talks about that. He says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often I would have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and you would not." In other words, He wanted to bring them together. He wanted to grab them. He wanted to say, "Hey, I love you. I want you to turn from your wicked ways, turn from your unrighteousness. I want to gather you. I want to bring you back in the proper relationship." And how many times he's reached out in grace and mercy to not only Jerusalem but every generation and say, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And He wants to forgive us our sin, and He wants to bring us back into that right relationship. But at the end of that verse 37, it says, "And ye would not." There's going to be some people that will reject the hand of grace. And
that's right.
And there are going to be some people who just don't want to acknowledge that they've done wrong and the consequences of their wrong. And they will not be able to say that God didn't send prophets and didn't send messengers and didn't send His word, didn't send His spirit, and didn't send His Son to redeem mankind. Dr. G?
Well, you know, that's pretty much what's happening now. And if you think about it, that's why we in authority and in positions that we are, we have to be careful what we say, what we do, because there could come a point that when our stuff gets brought out, you know, we can't blame
mm-hmm.
it on somebody else.
Right.
Well, you know, they did this, they caused this, blah, blah. You know, that's all well and good. But because we are the pastors, the leaders, the ones who are supposed to be setting proper examples, but yet we are not, and we are leading people in the opposite direction, all this stuff we've got to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I look at our leaders today, the morals, and what's going to happen with our country. You know, if a war breaks out, we're going to be left alone.
Right.
Because we're not going to have any allies. You know, the stuff that
right.
our president is doing, and then what the Congress and the Senate is allowing to take place. You know, this man is leading us further and further away from
mm-hmm.
what we talk about in God we trust.
Mm-hmm.
That man don't know nothing about no God. Mm-hmm. And as we've said, you know, we've already hit on it. You know, his children, some of his children are just as bad as he. Mm-hmm. They lie, they cheat, they cover up for their dad, because now they're being brought out to the front. And in the church, it's the same thing. You know, we don't think none of that stuff is going to happen because we're enjoying ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, we've got to answer for it.
Amen.
And like I said, in you go to verse 38, the chickens are going to come home to roost. In other words, you might be out there a while. And you might sow a lot of stuff, but eventually it's going to come home to your house. And in verse 30, it says, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." In other words, you're going to reap what you sow. When that stuff comes back, it's going to come back, and it's going to find you out. It's going to find you out.
Yeah.
And, you know, God is just laying it on the line. He's not pulling any punches. He's not sugarcoating it. He's saying, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." And so in verse 39, it says, "For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And in other words, God is removing his hand of grace. When he came to them and they did not receive him, when he came and he wanted to gather them as a chick gathers her hens.
Mm-hmm.
When the hand of grace is withdrawn, and people take grace for granted, but the Bible says you're saved by grace through faith, and not of yourself is the gift of God. But in this dispensation of grace, once the hand of grace is taken away, there's nothing else coming. There's no other plan for redemption. This is it. This is the last one. After all the prophets, Jesus was the last one. He paid the price. There's nothing. It's like sitting on the platform for Metro after the last train is gone. Ain't nothing else coming. It's gone. It's like sitting at the bus stop when the last bus has come.
Right.
There's nothing else coming. And salvation, this is God's plan. And once, and this is what's so devastating. There's going to come a time, Sheila G., where the hand of grace is the period of grace, the grace dispensation. In other words, you're going to, the grace means unmerited favor. In other words, you're going to get the favor of God, even though you don't deserve it. That period of time is going to be over with, and that's going to lead into the tribulation period. And the tribulation period is all them folk going to die.
Yeah.
Sheila G.
Yeah, and it's going to be a horrible death as well. And the thing about that is he gives us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. So at that point, when you no longer have that grace, those folk that die deserve to die, because it's not like they didn't have a chance to catch that last train.
Amen.
You know, it's just they just chose to sit back and do what they want to do, and now it's time to pay. And people still have such a limited view. But as you were reading that scripture, when he was saying about your house is left will be left desolate, it made me think about how the reason that we can stand up for what's right and for what's righteous is because of that scripture where he says he will make your enemy your footstool, meaning that when these people do come against you, when they do attack you, as long as you don't do evil for evil and you still have faith in God and he does that, lays that favor upon you, maybe from a human standpoint they can attack you, but those attacks won't last. And God is going to turn that thing around, and he's going to flip the script on them, and you still will have the victory. But it's up to us to basically look evil in the face and say, we're going to overcome evil with good and let evil die off, because evil will die off. But too often want to do evil for evil, and then we're just not as dirty as the next person. But we got to take that high road and then allow God to do his work, because those that don't turn away from their wicked ways will pay. And we just have to trust and believe that that's how God will do it.
Amen.
Amen. That hand of grace is so important right now. God is saying, I'm here and I'm offering you your best option. And, I always try to relate what we're talking about today or what's in the Bible. It's sort of like with the special counsel that's investigating this Russia probe. And this special counsel, Robert Mueller, is offering plea deals, plea deals to those folks who have messed up big time. He's offering them some grace, Dr. G. He's offering them some get out of jail free cards. He's offering them some golden parachutes.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are going to take it, and some of them not, Dr. G. And that's just the way it's going to be. And when the church is raptured out of this place,
Lord have mercy,
it's going to be some who have made a choice that same night rather to receive God or reject God. And it's going to be too late. Folks going to be going to jail with this Russian probe. And folks going to be going to hell once the church has been raptured. Dr. G.
Well, you know, you're right. And I was sitting there thinking about it. And you hit on something early, you know, that this period of grace, you know, right now we don't really get what we deserve, is because of, and folk who have turned away from the Lord, or, you know, they're doing their own thing. They really don't think about anything until something heavy hits them, or they have to go through something.
Mm-hmm.
Then they kind of come to their senses for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not enough to get them to get back on board and do what they know, especially those that have to have foundation.
Right.
They ought to know better.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many people who are so caught up in themselves.
Right.
And they've left their first love. They've turned away from God. And like you said, you know, there's going to come a point when the Lord is going to take his hands off of folk. And I don't know if it's just stupidity or what. Some folk just don't have the good sense, use the good sense that God gave them to see that when he allows them to go through something, it's a period that
mm-hmm.
he's trying to pay attention.
Right.
And if they was, as Sheila said, take that, turn from their wicked ways and repent,
right.
yeah.
they can get back into
yeah.
the right relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
But we
Amen.
Are up in a world where folk just don't seem to care.
Right.
And as you said, payday is coming.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. And that is the scary part. And, you know, that's why we have to stand and we have to take every opportunity we can to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that, you know, you can be saved by grace through faith. And, you just have to believe in God's plan. Prayerfully, it's not everlasting too late. But it's never too late until the hand of grace has been removed. And this dispensation or this period of time of grace has come to an end, and you know, we as a church body need to make sure that we're standing up and not being hypocritical and sharing the word of God with as many people as possible, praying that it's reaching them in a time where they can make a decision
uh-huh.
to accept God as their Lord and Savior. But yeah, Jesus, he finished this thing up strong and basically tell them, hey, if you don't get with it, every
right.
knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus
choose
is
you
Lord. You're going to stand before, yeah, choose you this day, who you going to
mm-hmm.
serve. And I don't want to be left behind. That's going to be something when that tribulation comes and the church is raptured before the tribulation. Where you're going to have folk in church that are going to be raptured and folk that are in church, Dr. G, that not going to make it. They're going to be in church and not going to make it because they
Man.
Played church. And
Man.
The church of God gets raptured out. And you're going to have folks sitting in church talking about, where'd everybody go? you're going to have preachers preaching in the pulpit. And
right.
half the congregation is going to get raptured out. They're going to be talking
yeah.
about where did everybody go.
Come on.
And why didn't I get raptured? But, you know, this is the word of God, and the word of God is sobering sometimes. It lets us know that this is nothing to be played with, and that we should definitely study it, know it, and share it with others. So we're going to go to the phone lines. Unless you have something else to add, Dr. G, to that?
No, we're good.
Sheila G, you have something else to add to that?
No, sir. You said it all.
All right. We're going to go to the phone lines. And basically, we're going to just ask the question about God's grace and God's timing. Just ask the question, do you appreciate God's grace and God's timing? God's grace and God's timing. Sometimes we don't agree with his timing, but we have to appreciate his timing and appreciate his grace that goes along with his timing. So just ask the question, do you appreciate God's grace and God's timing? We can go to phone lines. First caller we're going to take, last four digits is 1411. 1411. You are on the air.
Good evening, everybody. So the question is, just to make sure I understand, you said, do I appreciate God's grace and his timing?
God's grace and his timing, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. Based off my experience, I've learned, you know, and it's the old adage that everybody says that we've always said that, you know, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. So as far as his timing,
I like that.
As I've gotten older and as I've gotten closer to Christ and as I've gotten more embedded in the word, I realize that his timing is always just right. You know, he's never late. He never shows up. At times we think he's forgotten us. At times we think that he's not on his way. At times we think it's just like, oh, my goodness. But, of course, human nature, when you're going through something, time goes slower because you're in the midst of everything and you don't realize, you know, your sense of time is kind of whacked out a little bit. So I've always felt before I really started getting closer to God that, you know, it's like he always takes too long or he doesn't come. But then I realized, like, you know,
we have to
be ready for him when he comes. You know, he's not going to, you know, come and bless us or come and remove us from a situation until we're ready to be, you know, removed, because there's something to learn from it. There's always something to gain.
That's
from
true.
It. And God wants us to go through some things sometimes so that we can learn, because a lot of stuff, I can't speak for everybody, I put myself in those situations. Those are the decisions that I've made that, guess what, may not hit me the next day, may not hit me the next week or the next month, but guess what, if I look back and be truly honest with myself, I say, you know what, had I done XYZ or had I not done XYZ, I wouldn't have had to go through what I've got to. So sometimes God allows us to go through things to make us better so that we can testify and talk about the goodness of God and help somebody out who might be going through it. So I think sometimes when we're going through some things, people have to realize that there's a purpose, there's a reason for it, there's something for you to gain to help you go on your Christian walk. But I didn't know that early on. I didn't know that within the last probably 10 years of my Christian experience and my Christian life. I recently, within the last, honestly, decade or so, really started understanding God's timing and how true it was. And as far as his grace, you know, it's just amazing, because I can tell you now, if I was God, just knowing me and my mindset, I'd have gave up on me a long time ago or other people. So God is always, you know, clean slate. Every day you wake up, he's not worried about what you did yesterday, the day before, whatever. He's like, okay, what are you going to do today? How are you going to, you know, be better in your walk? What are you going to do differently? You know, and God truly has grace and mercy, because, like I said, there were times that I've doubted myself and didn't believe in myself, but I know God never gave up on me. You know, and at times, you know, we disappoint God, we upset God, and we don't even realize we're doing it. We're just making decisions, going about life, doing us, not even a care in the world, and God is, you know, hurt. God is upset. You know, people say, well, oh, I don't put any other gods before me, but you think about it, that cell phone, social media, your job, you know, all these other things that you put priority in. And I think people have to realize that back in the day, and this is just what I've learned, back in the day, people put things in a way that they understood it thousands of years ago. So people nowadays are trying to take it literally when it comes to certain things, but it's like, no, you have to apply it to what we go through today. It's the same concept, but it's not us building a golden calf and worshiping it and dancing around in a circle. It's what are we giving all our attention to and our priority to that we put above all God. You know what I'm saying? So I realized that, you know, when we talk about, you know, things that we do and prioritize, those things hurt God when you make time for everything else, when you're willing to sacrifice and go without and do all these things to do what you want or be with these gods that we worship and don't even realize we're doing it. And God sees all of that, but he continues to have grace. He continues to have mercy on us with the hopes of saying, you know what, one day they're going to get it. Maybe it'll be tomorrow. But it kind of goes back to what you said about his timing. Sometimes he has to let those things happen for you to realize, you know what, if you don't pay that bill, you know, when you don't have that cell phone, what are you going to do? You know, if you lose your job, what are you going to do? It's like we always turn to God when we're in our last wit, when it's nothing else, no one we can call. We done tried everything else. And guess what? Oh, it's this Bible right here. Let me crack this thing open and see, you know. And it's like we shouldn't be like that. We should always thank God every day when things are going good and praise him when things are going bad, because I truly believe there's something to be gained. But that's all in the mindset of how you think. And as I've told, you know, Pastor Gregory, we had a joke about it. And I said, remember like 30, 40 years ago when there weren't cell phones? And guess what? We got by. Everybody was fine. Remember? Look,
yeah.
I don't even remember the last time I saw a payphone, brother. Seriously. I was like, you know what? I don't even see payphones no more. I'm like, I remember you know, the dial tone, the phone with the long extension cord and the other stuff. And I'm like, and people
got by.
The world was fine. It wasn't like man without fire. The world went on. Everything was fine. But now you got social media. You got reality TV. You got all this crazy stuff, crooks in the White House, crooks in the, you know, in the church doing all this stuff. And it's crazy. And it's like half this stuff we don't even need, but we think we need it. But guess what? When you don't have it, then what do you turn to? And then all of a sudden now there's God standing there like, are you ready to listen to me? Are you ready to realize that all of this you're doing is totally unnecessary and all you're doing is pushing me further away? God is not distancing himself from us. God is we are distancing ourselves from God by putting all these things in between God and ourselves. And the sad part is we don't even stop to realize that we're doing it, because I truly think it's just the ignorance of man and being in this world and being in this flesh. You're not thinking about it until something happens or until somebody brings it to your attention. Say, hey, you realize what's going on. You realize what it is that you're doing. And I got tired. I got tired of banging my head against the wall. I just said, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Something's got to give. And guess where the buck stops? It stops with me. Once I made a decision that I was going to, you know, really consistently be about that life and be more than just quote scriptures and show up and play the piano on Sundays and really give my, you know, life to God and really understand what it is that I'm doing, then my eyes began to open up. The blinders were taken off, and I've been able to see with, you know, a clearer lens and really start to understand and really start to piece together how what's in the Bible and what we learn in church, how it fits in my life. And, you know, and it can only be done through the grace of God, because he gave me and allowed me to have that time. I could have been dead. One of those decisions could have led to my demise. It could have led to me not having a job. Lord. It could have led to so many things, but God still said, I believe in Brandon. I'm going to wait on him, because I truly believe if he puts in that effort and that extra work, he's going to get it. And then when he get it, then I'll see that, you know, Brandon has truly got it. And guess what? Then I level up. Then I'm on to the next thing. And then I got to learn to be a better version of myself than I was at the previous level. So every time we gain something, we're leveling up. But guess what? In order for you to level up, you got to be a different version of yourself than you were before. So I'm continuing to be hungry, and I'm continuing to be blessed. Mm-hmm. And I truly thank God for his grace, because if it wasn't for him, I have no idea where I'd be. I definitely wouldn't be on this phone. I can tell you that much. But you know, I truly thank God for his grace, and I thank him for his timing. And I think that's all. Yeah, I think, I got it off my chest. I believe that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Right, thank you for your comments tonight.
Yes, amen. Amen.
All right,
amen.
We're going to go to the next caller. Next caller. Last four digits, 1741. 1741, are you with us? Computer's running a little slow today. Sheila G, can you still hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, the transfer to the next call is running a little slow. See if I can reset this. But that grace, I'm resetting this, Sheila G. That grace is really powerful once you understand it.
Right, and I think a lot
they
don't understand it. That's when a lot of things that we're getting, we know we don't deserve. And that's the thing about grace, is when God gives us more goodness and more love and more things that we do not deserve. That's like Christmas every day. You know, he's just giving us stuff, giving us opportunities, giving us favor. And we haven't done anything to earn it. He's doing it purely because he loves us. And that's something, when you really, really get to understand what God's grace is, that's where you get the power. That's how you know that the Holy Spirit is powerful, because you have a God that is good to you when you don't even deserve it.
Amen.
Amen. It looks like the computer is going to be acting like it doesn't want anybody to talk. But we're going to try something different. try something different. But it's interesting to go through the whole show and then get to where you're trying to get folks to chime in, and now all of a sudden they just didn't want to work.
Mm-hmm.
But
made him mad.
Yeah.
But that's okay. God is
definitely.
Still good.
Yep. So let me try a couple more things to see if we can get them back. But that last verse where Jesus says, "You're not going to see me till I come back," it's sort of like, I don't know, people are familiar with the move where someone drops the mic.
Oh, yeah.
where he dropped the mic, where it's like, okay, I'm out. In other words, Jesus was like, okay, you didn't want to be a part. Didn't want to be a part of me. You didn't want to be a part of my plan. I'm dropping the mic. I'm out. And
yep.
It's final. It's something that's final. All right, let me try if I can go back to the studio and see if I can open this up. It's still running kind of slow. So what it's saying is that there is a server error. Try one more approach. One more approach. See if we can try this. And isn't that interesting?
That's very interesting.
That's the way Slewfoot works.
That's Slewfoot, though.
All right, I'm going to go one more direction and see what happens. Nope. Got a server error. All right,
okay.
So we're not going to be able to, unfortunately, get any more comments, but Sheila G, if you want to have final comments, Dr. G, have a final comment, and close us out in prayer.
Yeah, you know, I was just sitting here, what you had just said, you know, that's a scary thing when you think about God removing his hands from you, especially if you know who he is, or you have any kind of connection to him, you know, that I mean, the protection is gone. The love is gone. You know, the comforting is gone. Now, everything that he's done through grace is being removed. And pretty much you on your own. And then when we go through and get to a point where we begin to go through some of them hard times and we begin to pray, then we want to pray. And when God is not there, that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to leave that right there so folks can think about that. We're going to ask everyone to bow their heads. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for just another evening. Father, we thank you for what we've studied tonight. And, oh, God, we thank you for continuing to keep your loving arms around us. Father, if your grace was removed, I'd hate to think where this world would be right now. Father, we give you the glory. We pray right now that other folk might come to grips with this thing and understand that, you know, it is only through your grace and your mercy that we're here and that we're able to accomplish the things that we do. Father, I pray for all of that junk that's going on Capitol Hill now. I'm praying for our country, Lord. I pray that we might come back to where we need to be. Father, I'm praying for the church. Praying that people would wake up and see the hand of God moving. Lord, I pray that you won't remove your hand until it's time. But, oh, God, I pray for those that don't get it in time. Lord, help us now as we continue to stand firm. Lord, I thank you for these that have called in, and I rebuke the enemy for what he's tried to do tonight. Lord, we've studied your word, even though we couldn't get everybody. We thank God for the one. And, Lord, we just ask now that
whatever your will is, that you would give us strength to make it through the rest of the week. Lord, we thank you, and we just ask it all right now. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that prayer. That's going to do it for us tonight. And praise God. We'll see you all next Thursday night. Good night.